All this week, we are joining in on Covering Climate Now. It's a global collaboration of news outlets to strengthen climate change coverage. Right now, let's talk about plastic. If you're like me, you go through great pains to recycle plastic. But our next guest writes about the many myths of plastic recycling. The Intercept's Sharon Lerner wrote the article, Waste Only, How the Plastics Industry is Fighting to Keep Polluting the World. It was called the single best article on the plastic pollution crisis in years by former regional EPA official and founder of Beyond Plastics, Judith Ink. And we'll speak with Ink in a few moments. But first, let's start with The Intercept's Sharon Lerner. Sharon, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, Sharon, this is a big article. I can't stop thinking about it because the whole point of recycling is to refashion plastics into new products. We've all been programmed for decades to believe this system works. And your article looks into this and kind of refutes that. What did you find?
Well, I agree. It was heartbreaking for me researching it and writing. It was heartbreaking. I found that the vast majority of plastic that has ever been produced, 79%, has actually ended up in landfills or scattered around the world or burnt, but not refashioned into new products, which is what we hope for when we talk about recycling. For plastic bags, it's less than 1% of tens of billions that are used in the U.S. alone. And so overall in the U.S., our plastic recycling rate peaked in 2014 at 9.5%. So that's less than 10%.
That's the peak.
Yeah, all-time high.
I want to talk a little bit about the history. Your piece takes us all the way back to the 1960s when you write that those in the industry actually knew about the problems with recycling plastic. But 2017 was an especially important year because that's when China stopped receiving the vast majority of the world's plastic. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, so basically they're not, with very few exceptions, they're not receiving our plastic anymore. And what you have to know is that for years leading up to that, China was the recipient of our plastic waste, which we then classified as recycled. We were shipping it to China to be recycled, and it was categorized that way. We now know that a lot of that waste wasn't, in fact, recycled, was also landfilled and burnt and scattered around China. For a long time, we've just been offloading our waste, and that allows us not to see it, right? We put it in a bag, it goes somewhere else, goodbye, and it allows us not to feel guilt.
Where is the plastic going now?
Well, a lot of it is piling up at recyclers who don't have a place to sell it. A lot of it is being landfilled. A lot of it is being burnt. And a lot of it is going to other countries besides China, poor countries that don't have a good way to dispose of it, which was also the case with China.
Okay, so I'm thinking about these plastic bag collection sites, these recycling sites. Are they just a sham?
No, not entirely. It's really hard to get data on the plastic bag recycling, but the take back programs, which you know, at supermarkets and whatnot, I've been bringing my bags there for years, and it makes me feel better, right? Because I don't want to throw out all these bags.
Of course.
But in fact, many of those bags, it now appears, were only briefly passing through the recycling program to end up where they would have ended up anyway if they hadn't passed through it. You know, they're going to landfill and being burnt.
Okay, so you also talk about these efforts by the Plastics Industry Association to make us all feel good about recycling. It goes all the way back to these industry-sponsored Crying Indian. There were these commercials about keeping America beautiful all the way back in 1971. Give us some recent examples of how the industry is putting this green veneer on recycling.
Sure. There are a lot of plastic industry efforts to sort of boost the image of plastic and of recycling that are targeting kids. And one of them that I write about was a contest for the best plastic bag receptacle. And these were things that you could use to collect plastic bags. And it was on the surface, a really heartwarming story because here are kids that care about the planet. I know I have kids. They just instinctively, they get it. You know,
right.
They don't
yep.
want to destroy the planet for good reason, right? But in fact, when you take a step back, that contest was sponsored by A Bag's Life, which is a project of a group called the American Progressive Bag Alliance, which is a lobbying group that actually fights against efforts to restrict plastic.
Then there are the health implications of all of this. You also write about microplastics, these tiny bits that are just about everywhere, and they're actually lodged in our bodies, which is horrifying.
Yep.
You write the future of plastic is actually dividing the plastics industry. Explain that.
Well, interestingly, right after this piece came out, both Coke and Pepsi announced that they were leaving the Plastics Industry Association. Mm. So I think this has been a very difficult issue for them. As people become more aware of the plastics issue, they're really at the center of it. Almost half of the plastic that we are producing now is single use. And so it almost instantly becomes trash. And then that trash, that plastic, if it's in a landfill, can last hundreds of years.
Thank you so much. Sharon Lerner covers environmental crime for The Intercept. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Let's now turn to Judith Ng, a former regional EPA official in the Obama administration who leads the Beyond Plastics Project at Bennington College, where she teaches what she calls the first college course on reducing plastic pollution. Thank you for joining us, Judith.
My pleasure.
You use the term aspirational recycling. What do you mean by that? Is recycling useless?
No, I'm a big booster of recycling. Paper and metal and glass and cardboard. My advice is only put in your recycling bin plastics that have number one, number two, or number five on the bottom of the container. Now, the difficulty is lots of local governments tell you to put all plastics
That's right.
in your recycling bin one through seven. And that was a big mistake. They did that because they thought it would be easier for people. And then they would pull out the non-recyclables at great taxpayer expense. And then what happened is when all the plastics were shipped to China, China said, hey, stop sending us all of your waste. These are really recyclable.
Yes.
So what I tell my students in almost every class at Bennington College is we can't recycle our way out of this problem. We have to buy less plastic, and we need American and other businesses to make less plastic. There are alternatives. And I want to emphasize, even the most careful consumer has a hard time avoiding plastics.
Talk about hard time. It's almost impossible.
I know. That was an understatement. And also, talk to your stores. Our website, beyondplastics.org, has a sample letter that you can send to your store manager explaining that you like shopping at the store, but you don't like all the plastic. And can they please offer more products that are not wrapped in single-use plastic packaging? And what I'm recommending people do is to work at the local level because, as Sharon Lerner outlined, the political strength of the plastics lobby is so immense that it's very, very hard to get anything significant through at the state level. And I just can't imagine in this political climate getting anything good at the federal level. So we've got to really work from the bottom up.
I have one more quick question for you. Would you recommend the plastic that we already have in our homes, these containers or other things that we have, that we just continue to keep using them instead of throwing them away?
You should throw them away. I mean, I was, you know, a big Tupperware fan for years. And I would also like, you know, if I got a takeout container that was plastic, I would save it and use it over and over again.
Right.
But I've tossed them all out and replaced it with Pyrex. And the reason is because we know that hundreds, actually 11,000 chemicals are used in food packaging. And especially as the containers get older or if they get warm. So obviously never put
In the microwave, don't do it.
In the microwave, yes, or your dishwasher, because the hot water. The other thing I want to mention, and I recently learned this, is avoid black plastic altogether. Because guess what? It's made from recycled electronic waste, like computers and phones. And I had a bunch of black plastic utensils in my kitchen, a spatula,
I used one yesterday.
Spoon. Yeah, we all have it. Throw it out. Don't recycle it.
Judith Ink is a former Obama regional EPA official who leads the Beyond Plastics Project at Bennington College. Judith, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.